back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The lead horse on Sabres Live is running wild this weekend, I believe in the Bluegrass State. That would be Marty Baron, but not before Marty laid down some killer acting chops in one of the latest promos available on Sabres social channels as it pertains to a job fair today. Now, the lead actor from Sabres.com, and man, has he starred in some roles over the years, Jordan LaBarber is with us. Jordan, what was your acting experience like with Marty in this most recent quest to get people to head over to the job fair at KeyBank Center today?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of jobs for Marty, what people, you see him acting in that promo. What you don't know is he was director, he was producer, and he demands a lot out of his talent. So I had to find a motivation for my character. I had to watch a lot of classic cinema. At the end of the day, I liked take 38. He went with take 47, but it ended up being a pretty good promo for Sabres jobs.
I had no idea, right? Like my portion was recorded offsite, so I was not actually in the trenches when everything was being filmed. I had no idea how many cameos from our coworkers would be involved in all of this. And the one takeaway, though, was from our videographer, Scott Balzer. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, oh my gosh, Marty's hair is ridiculous these days. And so I hadn't quite noticed, because as you know, we're often wearing caps on this show. Mm-hmm. And when he said it, I was like, oh my, I wonder, like Marty was adamant that he had to go get a haircut. And now I know why, because he probably thinks he looked ridiculous in this promo, but it was pretty good. You and him had a pretty intense stare, I would say.
Like I said, you know, that was the motivation for my character, was that I had a bad day. I'm going through security and here's Marty Baron, you know, giving me a hard time. So it was just it was a summation of everything my character had been through prior to what you see on screen.
Well, you're also the guy who's done long and short walks on the beach with Rasmus Dahlin at All-Star and things like that. How do you look at the characters that are on this Sabres roster as we get within less than a month of Prospects Challenge, less than a month now of the preseason beginning, and the storylines that may or may not be emerging in your head and or online at Sabres.com? Take us through what you're kind of working on right now.
Yeah, we're trying something new over at the website. Actually, we put out a call for questions today for our first Sabres.com mailbag. So we're going to be trying to answer some fan questions ahead of the start of training camp and in a week or a few weeks away from training camp, but answering the questions a little bit before then, which has us thinking, you know, what are the questions going into this camp? It's an interesting scenario this year where a lot of the team has returned. You have a few incoming veterans who you would imagine will play. So a lot of the stuff can seem like it's set, but as we know, storylines tend to appear that you maybe weren't expecting. You think back to last year, you know, 13th overall, Zach, but that draft position usually doesn't make the roster. He scores preseason game number one, and all of a sudden, you know, the dominoes start falling until he plays over 70 games. Or a couple of years ago, I believe it's you and I sitting in the stands at the arena, and one of us looks at the other and says, is Page playing center? Oh, maybe, you know, it's a fill-in for, well, he never left, you know, and he scored 30 goals 3 years in a row. So you start to wonder, what will these storylines be?
Do you think you would be thinking about them the same way if there hadn't been a coaching change, i.e. how wide open is everything right now because of Lindy's return?
I definitely think it adds a whole new dynamic, because in two ways. Personnel, he's going to be getting to know these players for the first time. He might see things differently in terms of a lot of these guys are versatile to play center or the wing. Maybe you see changes there. Maybe guys who have been in bottom six roles get chances in the top six. And then beyond personnel, what is this team going to look like? What's the style of play going to look like? What's the power play structure going to look like? And I for any fans, if there are open practices, I believe it'll be surreal to see Lindy Ruff running Sabres practices, just to see how he's communicating with players, how he's changed from, you know, stories we've heard from alumni, from how he used to coach. That'll be interesting to watch too.
Do you think it would, I can never use the word easy, but based on living through the challenges of last year, do you think Buffalo's power players will be able to find a way back to the success they had a couple of years ago quickly? Do you think that, I guess there's a couple of ways to look at it. Not only new head coach and Lindy Ruff, obviously you have Seth Appert elevated from Rochester now as an assistant with the Sabres. But I tend to look at stuff like this, with all due respect to the coaches, as player driven. So when I identify top unit and second unit power plays, do you just look at this and think that they will be able to get back to that level on their own, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, so you look at some of the individual skills the Sabres have offensively, and it speaks to the potential of a good power play. You've got elite shots. I mean, you've got one of the game's elite shots with Tage Thompson, but even on that other flank, you know, J.J. Paterka has shown glimpses of having a good one-timer. And then Rasmus Dahlin at the point, he's as creative as it gets. So, you know, maybe a new perspective coaching is what it takes for the cohesion, you know, amongst all those skills. And, you know, we have Seth Appert running the power play this year. It's a different look. I'm sure Lindy Ruff will have philosophies. He described it as a, you know, a team effort there. But one thing that Lindy said about the power play was emphasizing the bumper position as, you know, maybe the most important spot on the ice. And you think about who was there a lot, you know, Jeff Skinner was in that position before. So it automatically creates a vacancy in, you know, what the new coach is deeming to be the most important spot on the power play. So I think that's going to be interesting to watch, is who settles in there, you know, particularly on the top unit. First name that comes to mind to me is Jack Quinn, guy who was, you know, he has the ability to rotate out. He's got a great shot, but he also has, you know, a good mind to find the openings that are created when the pressure does go out to the flanks, if they're trying to take away Tage. And perhaps eventually that opens the one-timer back up.
I agree. And I think Chris Baker, based on his earlier appearance on the show, would probably agree as well, based on the fact that Chris looks at Quinn as the biggest difference maker among this 23 and under group, of which there is a long list of Sabres, and it doesn't matter about age, but we were just making it a little bit about it on today's show. I think when you think back to when he came back from the injury last year, and a few goals he had scored in succession were just different ways, you know, and it was like, wow, it really does speak to that versatility, almost the unpredictable. Like, the bumper position's fascinating because it's predictable and unpredictable all at the same time, because you can you're in the area to capitalize on some broken plays, right? Very quickly. And I think that's where Quinn, to me, is super exciting and shifty and creative and smart, but he's also such a gifted passer that he won't panic in those situations, right? And I can see him then creating a split second outlet to guys in better positions. So I'm fascinated, but I'm also fascinated to see how the defense plays a role in this power play, because Power and Byram are going to want their points too, right?
Yeah.
So how does that eat into first unit power plays that sometimes go deep into a second shift, if you will, you know, how quickly are they going to move on and give guys like Power and Byram opportunity there?
Yeah, and will you see a two defenseman look on one of the units? I imagine you probably will, and maybe it's a second unit. And then when you do have that, is there opportunity for movement? You know, maybe you see Rasmus Dahlin down low a little bit as opposed to at the point, and he's able to use his creativity in different ways that we haven't seen before. So I think there's just a lot on the table, and it's going to be interesting to see how a new coach looks.
Do you have because of how it played out in free agency and where the focus was, where has that created the most competition at forward, in your opinion?
So I'd see two spots. there's a top six, and we can assume maybe five of the top six, if that's fair. You know, you have your Paterka, Thompson, Tuck, whether or not that's a line, they had success together. Mm-hmm. And you have Cousins and Quinn. I think, you know, they've earned that going in at least. And then you have that vacancy, you know, left by Jeff Skinner. And there's options. I think, you know, Jason Zucker would be someone that comes to mind going in. He has a recent 20 plus goal season. He's got several of those on his resume. He's, you know, an accomplished goal scorer. But can Zach Benson, is he ready to take another step there? Are one of these young players from Rochester, maybe, you know, they won't fit in the bottom six role, but maybe Yuri Kulik, maybe it's top six or back to Rochester, you know? Mm-hmm. So that would be one. And then or Peyton Krebs, I mean, he's kind of settled into this, you know, two-way defensive bottom six center role. But, you know, he's a guy with first-round pedigree skill. I mean, maybe he moves back to the wing and, you know, find some chemistry there in the top six.
Does your gut tell you any of these less experienced players, the Roseans, Kuliks, Bensons of the world? Mm-hmm. Like, do you have an inkling that this is going to be an eye-opening camp?
It's tough. I mean, there could be more than one, but there doesn't seem like there's a lot of room for more than one. I think I want to say Kulik. I mean, for what the team might need in that spot, and for all his natural goal scoring skill, like it mm-hmm. might be a good fit. Whereas, you know, some of the other guys have maybe more developed into all around games that might fit further down the roster to start their careers and then, you know, develop from there.
Are you expecting any major transactions between now and the first preseason game, September 21st?
I mean, not this time of year. It's, you know, you see moves made, and we just saw one made last week, obviously, but that was, you know, a situation that people saw coming with Patrick Laine. Mm-hmm. I think my guess would be this late into the summer, this is probably your roster going in. And like I said, there were several veteran additions, and that's the other area I see competition is. You kind of have one extra, if you're not counting on those young guys, you kind of have one extra forward amongst either the guys that were added or the guys mm-hmm. who are returning who were regulars last year. So there's going to be competition, if everyone's healthy, for a spot in the lineup and, you know, moving up and down the lineup, of course.
Do you have a lock to play next to Rasmus Dahlin?
No, I think that's interesting to watch too, because, you know, the Sabres get Bowen Byram and he moves next to Dahlin, and it looks really exciting at, you know, at the start, and that's certainly a possibility. But maybe it also opens up the possibility for Owen Power to be next to Dahlin, and then you can have Bowen Byram, you know, as your second pair. Mm-hmm. If you look at the numbers, one, Rasmus Dahlin's numbers are great with every partner, or they're above 50%, you know, shot attempts wise and goals wise with most partners, mm-hmm. Which really speaks to him. But they're best with Owen Power. Now, some of that might be skewed because they're usually out in offensive situations historically.
Correct. Yeah.
But it just speaks to the, you know, to the different possibilities. You can go Power Dahlin and have, you know, two offensive guys, Byram Dahlin, or you can go back to, you know, Dahlin Samson, or even Dahlin Nokihara, you had good numbers last year too. So
yeah,
it's anyone's guess, but it's interesting to see what's on Lindy Ruff's mind when it comes to the top pair.
Great job with the promo and the segment today, and we'll see you soon. Good luck with the mailbag.
Thank you, Duffer.
Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.